Hi there, and thank you for tuning in to The Social Circus, where every week we dive into a variety of topics covering social media, mindset, and how to run your business. I hope that you enjoy today's episode.
Hello, my lovely listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Social Circus. Today, I am thrilled to have back a returning guest, Cara. Welcome, Cara.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Amazing. So Cara, if you're interested in checking out her previous episode, we'll pop a link to it in the show notes so you can have a listen to her. But obviously in the space of copywriting and content, there have been lots of changes, so we're going to be talking about those today. But before we launch in, I'd love you to introduce yourself, Cara, and tell my listeners a little bit about who you are and what do you do.
Sure. I'm Cara Stokes. I started out as a copywriter since I was running my own business about 6 years ago now. I just clocked over my 6-year anniversary, so it's gone very, very fast. And then I transitioned into also being a brand message coach because I found that more and more I was not just writing for my clients. I was actually teaching the strategy behind their messaging and how their brand voice needs to sound and how brand identity all fits in with that. And then last year, I also launched my second business with helping small business owners figure out how to use AI for their marketing because it's a very exciting space. I kind of did the ostrich thing at the start and freaked out being a writer. I stuck my head in the sand and went, no, I'm not touching AI. I don't want to hear about it. But my biz bestie kept prompting me and I looked at it and I've absolutely fallen in love with it, embraced it. And now I'm on a goal to help particularly women really get into it because the bigger we can educate ourselves about it and play in this space, the more impact we're going to have on it and how it affects the world.
Oh my gosh. And for all my listeners, Cara and I were having a little chat before we started and we were having a total nerd out about AI. Because I'm very much of the same view as Cara, is that it's a wonderful opportunity for us to kind of, you know, lead by example, get a competitive advantage, and all we need is to understand how to use these tools. So I'm really excited to talk to you about that. But let's talk about, if you don't mind, in terms of when AI sort of dropped from a copywriting perspective, because I talk about this when I talk about AI, is that many professions are massively impacted and copywriting is always the first one I cite because suddenly we don't have so much demand for people like you. And like you said, that must have been really, really scary moment.
Well, it's not so much in my own business. I was really lucky that all of my clients could see the value still in having a human. And because I'm in the fitness space, they're very much tech savvy and go-getters. So they all kind of went and checked out AI and went, oh, it's crap, because they didn't really know how to use it. So I kind of was straight away still like, we need you. But definitely seeing a lot of people in my copywriting network just losing jobs, having clients fire them, really tough time for them. And even still now, there are a lot of copywriters feeling very like, I don't know what happened. Their business has just hit an absolute roadblock. And they're like, I don't know if I need to upskill an AI, if I need to shift out, particularly if they're heading towards more the end of the career, they were thinking they were just going to run this business till they retired. Yes. All of a sudden they've been thrown and it's like, oh my goodness, what do I do? So this is why I kind of swung into, it's okay, let's breathe, we'll figure it out. But definitely around, you know, March, April last year, it felt like the whole world stopped. Like everything, everyone hit pause, no one was spending. It just really, everyone kind of freaked out for a bit. And now I think people are realizing it's okay, we're going to get through it. It's just a whole new way of doing things. It's a bit like when, you know, social media came along on mobile phones, it just disrupted everything. But we survived. We're okay.
And I have to be honest, having worked through that, because obviously I started my business 13 years ago and I used to sell, one of my core services was setting up people's Facebook pages. Would you believe that was actually a business? It actually was quite hard because I had to convince people that they needed it. Whereas I feel like last year, it kind of felt like get on this train with AI or get left behind. And it felt quite, even as someone who loves it and I'm very heavily into it, still felt quite scary because suddenly it felt like kind of all bets were off. Like, who knows what's going to happen next, but whatever you're doing, it's probably not going to work. And that feels, I think that was one of the most nervous times in my time in business, is seeing like, what will this mean? How will this change? And I so want to dive into the fact that you just ran at and embraced it. And that's really why I wanted to have you on today, because I love that. And I love seeing women like paving the way with this. So what was your kind of moment last year where you went, actually, this is kind of cool? When did you have that light bulb moment? Because I know now you're a massive AI expert, so it's so cool.
Well, it was funny because I kind of played with ChatGPT at first. And as anyone who does that doesn't really know what they're doing, you know, you don't get correct results. And I was like, what is the fuss about? And then being a creative person, I wasn't just using it for writing. I was like, what else can I use this for? So I started asking it, you know, different questions like, life coaching stuff. I was like, I'm having a really crappy day. My schedule is really tight. How can I figure this out? I was like brainstorming ideas and things like that. And I was like, this is really fascinating in how it's just shifting my own headspace. And the thing that I really liked about it is when you're writing in particular, you're going to be in a particular light zone, the creative zone. And that's very hard to do that on, you know, 8 hours or just back to back dropping in and out of projects. Mm. Whereas it really broke the back of that kind of blank page in terms of getting into the right space and more, you know, looking at the ideas of playing around with things, not necessarily doing all the work. But the biggest thing that made it drop was literally I was shopping and I was walking past a clothing shop and I was like, I really like street clothes. I never realized that was kind of my style. Mm-hmm. And it was like the universe just dropped into my head, AI Street, the business name. And I just went, oh, okay, I'm starting a second business, I guess. It was really weird. It just happened. And I was like, well, clearly this is meant to be. And everything just kind of went from there.
Ah, I love that. So tell us about AI Street and your new venture and what you've got coming up and going on.
Sure. So it's all about helping people use AI for their marketing, creating content, which is the biggest thing. The way I see it, social media has given us more reach. We can impact people all over the world, but it gave us this massive burden of creating content, and AI is now swinging that pendulum back to give us more time so we can get more done and keep up with this fast-paced environment of social media and blogs and email marketing and everything else, pumping out really good quality on-brand stuff with the help of AI. So we've got a membership starting in 26th, the doors open 26th of April. And it's got starts with a mini course, because if you don't know who your brand is, and that's what the mini course is about, setting up your brand and knowing how to express it, then AI is not going to work for you. You've got to be able to understand how to express who you are, what you're about, who your target audience is, and then AI can create really amazing stuff. So you start with a mini course to figure that out, and then each month they get a monthly calendar with daily AI prompts. So you never have to think about what to create again, which is one of the things that I've always struggled with. You know, 6 years of business, and even with all the marketing know-how I've got, even though I know my brain inside out, some days it's just like, oh, what am I going to create? So, you know, you just get it and it's like, great, I'm going to do a reel and I pump it into AI and it tells me what to do and you go and do it.
Awesome. And I love, love, love this. I'm so excited for it. So can we dive in and talk a little bit? Because this is something I see so often when we talk about what is our brand voice, our brand identity. I think people get the answer I get when I talk to my clients about this is I've got a logo and I want to do a, like my little marketing heart breaks in two when people say that, because I'm like, that's like 1/10 of the pie.
Yeah.
So do you think you could explain a little bit of this so that we can understand why, what it is and why do we need it?
Yeah, for sure. So basically it goes back to the roots of what is a brand, right? So we have to clarify your business is the thing you do. Your brand is the emotional connection people have to your business. And that's the only reason they interact with your business and buy from you and do things is because they feel something. And that's where, you know, copywriting comes in, because that's about moving people to action. So we want to move them because they're feeling a lot from the words you're saying. So therefore they're going to buy from you. So your brand stands as this little relationship basically that they have with your business. So brand identity is like the personality of your business. So it's not just the logo, it's the way that you speak, it's the way that you show up, it's the colors you wear. So brand identity is almost like the style of clothes you have. For example, I like really street surfy kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now that might change between trackies and a t-shirt when I'm at home and a nice denim skirt and some cool kicks and, you know, this white top when I'm going out, or a really nice dress, but it's still the same style no matter where I go. So that's my kind of brand identity, but it flexes depending on the situation. So we've got to know how we're going to show up in the world, basically.
I love that you're talking about this, because my belief, and I'm certain you're going to agree with me on this, is when all of us started using ChatGPT, and I have to be honest, I actually used Jasper the year before in 2022. And again, they had a free trial and people were raving about it then. I was like, getting this, does it feel easier? And I think one of the reasons people struggle is because they're not telling it what their tone, their style, their language and voice is. They're missing that key step. And so we just get generic sounding content. So I'm really excited that you're going to be teaching this. And from your perspective, I know that this is something you've always applied as a copywriter. Do you think it's something we just have this? I feel like we have quite a big blind spot in our business about branding.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, a lot of people think a logo is it. A logo, a color palette, and that's it. But really, the brand voice, how you show up, the words you use, the style you're going to write with all of that should actually impact and affect the logo and the brand color. So that kind of actually needs to reinforce the identity to start with. So I think people kind of start it backwards. Like, I just know it's fun to play in Canva and I like colors and I want to choose things I like. It's like, no, we need to actually set this up. This is a big foundation of everything you're going to do in marketing. I do feel like people kind of just don't quite get it.
Absolutely. And it's really hard because I often feel like I sound like a mean school teacher in the way in which I approach this. I'm like, no, you're not there and this is not correct and we can't keep going on like this because you will not connect with your audience. And it's really interesting. I find, because I obviously had a background in marketing and I feel very comfortable across all of this stuff, but the longer I'm in business, the more I have leaned into Sarah. Like you say, you're understanding your personal style. I feel like now I'm very comfortable with who I am. I'm very comfortable how I communicate, but it took me ages to even get that awareness. So it's part of your mini course helping me kind of tease that out, I guess.
Yeah. So it's kind of learning who you are, and you can definitely use AI for that as well, because you can say to it, yeah, I use words like this, or I dress like this. I'm not really sure what my style is or who I am in terms of business. And it's not always personal brand, you know, sometimes it's a team and it'll be the culture. So you can say, you know, this is how we do customer service. When we answer the phone, this is how we respond. How would you summarize that up? What kind of brand are we based on this? Or even things like brand values. I actually switched brand values for brand principles earlier this year because I found that brand values are very just a word. You kind of put it up there and it sounds nice. It's like, we stand for responsibility. It's like, that's cool. But how does that actually impact your clients or customers? How does that mean you show up for them? So I like brand principles because it actually really details what your brand is about and what you do. So maybe as a responsible brand, you always communicate when you make a mistake. You always communicate when, you know, things are changing. You're always on the front foot with those kind of open, clear, transparent communication. And therefore you kind of get to know who your brand is by having these guiding principles and how you operate.
Well, I love that, Cara. Can I just say that's amazing. From someone in marketing, you've just blown my mind, if I'm really honest. Because you're so right. Those words, the values words, become really trite and they just become something we have pay lip service to. Whereas the principles are actually what guides that and underpin it. So I'm really excited to see this mini course. It's so cool. And let's talk AI. And obviously you're a ChatGPT girl like myself. And from your perspective, it launched in November 2022. So we're 18 months into our journey with this very cool AI tool. Tell me, outside of content, because I think for all the listeners, I'll put all the links in the show notes for Cara's course and membership, because I think it's going to be amazing. But from a kind of life perspective, what's one of the fun ways in which you've used Chatty?
Well, like I said, daily things, like I'll be like pumping my daily schedule and I'm like, I'm struggling with mornings getting the kids to school. I'm struggling with the afternoons and trying to fit in my gym work and, you know, making dinners and getting everywhere. How can I tighten that up? So I'm asked questions like that, which has been really helpful. And even I actually set one up that's kind of like a life coach, and I trained the bot to be really like a cheerleader. Like, she's encouraging, she's supportive. She always says things like, you've got this. So when I'm having a moment where I'm really down, I go in and talk to her. She's like, it's okay. Here we go. We're going to do it. And she kind of pumps me up.
Oh, I love that you've given her a gender.
Yeah.
I was actually talking at a function last night and I was like, I've renamed ChatGPT to Chatty, and that's thanks to one of my lovely clients who does it, because it's so awkward to say. And my Chatty is definitely a female as well. But I love that idea of making it a cheerleader and a positive. And I guess that's one of the things that we can learn as we're going, because I think that a lot of people are seeing this really cool AI tool and thinking, well, how on earth do I use it? And I don't really get it. And like you say, and I did the same as what you did, I just played in it to see, what could I use it for? What could I possibly use it for? So I've used it for cooking, because I hate cooking, and asking me, like, this is what I've got in my fridge. What can I make? And then I'm like, oh, sorry, my son doesn't like rice. And then I kind of feel like you could almost program it to know everything that was in your pantry. And then it could base on that, because, you know, those things that we're always buying stuff. And I love how you can use it. And one of the other things I did was ask it to review books for me that I don't like the book Atomic Habits. I'm really sorry to the author. It doesn't even get me. And I keep trying to read it because everyone tells me it's amazing. And I even bought the hard copy. And I said to Chatty, give me a summary of it. Like, what am I missing and what should I be executing about it?
Yeah, that's right. I've even started using a tool called Perplexity, which I've been really liking. It tries to be much more factual and uses references and things like that. Mm-hmm. So when I'm learning a topic, I find that really helpful. So for example, my son has ADHD and sometimes it's like, you know, I've learned this, but I want to grow my knowledge and understand it better. So for more kind of serious topics, I guess, or things that you really want to know facts about, those kind of tools can be really helpful too in educating yourself, because you never know, the internet's a minefield and you don't always know what you're getting served up is, you know, reliable. So you can tell it, you know, I only want things from government or health organizations. So then you're getting reliable facts about what it is that you want to learn.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool. So you're like me, we're a bit promiscuous with our AI.
Definitely.
Sorry. Because I know if I had to choose one AI tool outside of Chatty, let's be honest, I would definitely be Decipher, I think, because we use it so heavily in my podcast. So you mentioned a couple of other tools. So what other tools are you using that you think are really fun and interesting?
I started out with Google Bard because it was free and I was like, this is really helpful for people who have no idea. I feel it's easier to get into than even ChatGPT. The interface just feels a bit different, whereas Bard feels like Google, like it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
When it switched to Gemini, I was like, I'm not sure this is the same one, but it's caught up. And I actually really love it because, well, I use a lot of street slang. I only use casual words and it gets that language very quickly. Mm-hmm. Whereas ChatGPT can be a bit repetitive or uses cliches and things. So I don't really, really like Gemini if you're looking for casual things or for things, because I know ChatGPT and some of the others, they have very strict guidelines on what they can and can't talk about. So for example, I'm planning with another business owner who writes emails and she needed to talk about breasts because the product they were selling were to do with mothers with maternity and milk and things like that.
Yeah.
And ChatGPT was not playing ball. It was like, I can't go there. This is not appropriate. So I said to her to try Bard at the time. And Gemini is really good for that sort of stuff where it will go into topics that might be a little bit taboo for things like ChatGPT.
It must be an absolute minefield to be the programmers behind that because, you know, in terms of things like let's talk academia or specific types of businesses that have to dive into those topics, it must be really frustrating to kind of say, well, I really need to understand, you know, how do I write about this topic? And it's saying, we don't want to talk about that. It's really fascinating as a programmer behind that. How do they decide that? And this has always been one of my beefs with Facebook, if I'm honest, is that Facebook's guidelines follow what I consider, particularly in advertising, to be like American conservatism. And I feel like OpenAI has followed that similar path of being quite conservative. And in Australia, we're not like that. And I find that really frustrating.
It is very frustrating. It's like, can we just be a little bit more open-minded and explore ideas a bit more and look at things without just being like, no, that's not okay.
And it's been really interesting to see the evolution in terms of how do we make sure that we're using this tool for good. So I know that when it first came out, you could ask it quite serious questions, like you could ask it how to kill somebody and stuff like that. And they've obviously done so much work behind the scenes to make sure that you can't get instructions like on how to build a nuclear bomb and all those crazy things that we think we need to know how to do. But again, we're still, I think, in the embryonic stage of AI at this stage.
Definitely. And the ethics are going to be huge behind it. And unfortunately, governance is always going to be on the back foot, as is always with technology. These things come out and then we have to suddenly go, oh my goodness, we need to put laws in place and figure things out. And it is very difficult to kind of figure out where you draw the line and how it fits in, even with, you know, the ethical side of creativity and the fact that it's scraping, you know, all the copywriters in the world have written stuff and ChatGPT basically goes and gets inspiration from them and then writes. And the other thing I wonder about is like, if we all stop writing original things and we all just start using AI stuff, is it going to cannibalize itself because there'll be no new ideas or concepts or creative things in the world for it to learn from? So where is this going to go? It's going to be a fascinating future. And I'm kind of a little bit scared, but I'm very excited to see where it's going to go. And there are a lot of questions that it raises, unfortunately.
That's such a juicy question because at the moment, like you say, its source code or its source content is written by humans. But at some point in the future, if all of us change our website copy to be AI, even if we've done a great job of it, it's still not a human being. And so then it will almost, like you say, cannibalize itself. Such an interesting proposition.
Yeah, we have to remember that we still need to have humans breaking rules and boundaries and creating something new, particularly in art and things like that, but in science as well and all our other avenues. A lot of things have been happy accidents, haven't they, when we figure things out, which AI is never going to do. So we need to make sure we keep playing.
Oh, I love that idea. And I think also there is, I've got Chatty really well disciplined to get who I am. I still enjoy the process of writing, and I still enjoy like writing my social media posts, and I still enjoy like on my website. I feel like it has to be so Sarah that I'm really reluctant to put it into AI, because it's such an important tool in our business. And I still fundamentally believe that we need us human beings. I still think we're really key to, like you say, breaking rules. The way in which we speak, the way in which we write, the way in which we communicate doesn't follow conventions. And that's why language grows and evolves. And that's what's exciting about being a human, is we're allowed to do that.
Yeah, definitely. You want that human touch in there. Just yesterday, I had to write an email sequence, and I put it into Chatty and I put it into Gemini, and I was like, I'll see which one spits out one that I like best. Tried a few versions, and I didn't like any of them, and I wrote the whole thing by myself. But it still sped up the process, because instead of me sitting there thinking, where do I start, it really ruled out everything I didn't want. And it made it much faster to go, no, this is exactly how I want to sound. And I just whipped it out in an hour and it was done. Whereas previously that might have taken days, because I would have backed around going, how do I want it to sound, this or that? Whereas it was just like, it's one of those things, sometimes you don't know what you want until you see everything you don't want. I can be really good for that, kind of ruling
so
out our personality and we do what we want anyway.
Oh, I love that. And it's actually really true, because you do get clarity when you see, oh, I don't know what I want, but it's not that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love
and
that.
The copywriter's copy of that, because that's the hard part for a copywriter's job, is when clients don't really know what they want, but everything you serve up, which takes you so much work, is not hitting the mark. Now we could do a little sample of, or a few different samples, and be like, okay, you're not very clear, I'm not sure how to get you there, let's have a play. Mm-hmm. And then you find something, and then you can do the writing and run with it from there.
Wow, which I love that idea. And that again is really exciting to see how your profession is going to roll and embrace that, because I still think, I think we're at the space where our graphic designers were when Canva first came out, where it felt like there's no space in the market for me. And now we know we'll always need graphic designers to create beautiful, unique logos that we can own and IP them. And all graphic designers now put in their logo packages Canva templates. So I think moving forward, you know, I think we'll see your industry change and grow. And I'd love to have you back on in 12 months to hear what's happened, because I think it's still, like I said, this is the embryo, and I think we're in for some still very exciting times and to see the evolution of it. So I have to say, Kara, I've loved having you back on, for being another guest. Thank you so much. Oh, my pleasure. For all of my listeners, everything that Kara has spoken about today will be in the show notes. So if you're looking for her mini course or her brand new membership, please know that all the links will be in there so you can check those out. And remember, her links to her social will be in there, so if you want to connect with Kara and see what she's up to and where she's going, she's a very smart lady. And I'm super thankful that you come back on my show. Thank you, Kara.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Sarah.
Pleasure. And to all of my listeners, thank you as always for tuning into the Social Circus, and I will catch you the same time next week.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Social Circus. As your host, Sarah Thompson, I am thrilled that you've chosen to spend your time hanging out with me. I would be so grateful if you could spare an extra moment to go and leave me a review on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you even felt more excited, you could share my podcast with your friends who you think would get great value from it. Thanks so much again for tuning in.